Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you all the praise. There is none like you, none could be compared with you. You are the first, the last, the beginning, and the end, and beside you there is no other God. As many that appear before you upon Mount Zion, Lord, they shall go from strength to strength. No one will leave here the same because of your presence, because of the complete work on the cross of Calvary. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you come, open our eyes, enlighten us, increase and develop our relationship with God. Help us to say that we will accomplish something that we never thought we could do. Help us to become better persons. Help us to become better neighbors. To the glory of your name. For in Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can I just ask, how has your week been? Great? Stressful? Hustling? Working? Relaxing? Studying? Exams? School? Amen?
Amen.
Great. I just want to say thank you for coming. And you're welcome in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we start, if you have something we're going to pray about, you know, we're going to pray as a family. Back in the days, the churches were not buildings. It was in Peter's house, in Juliana's house, Colonia's house, you know. And that's what we're having today because the church is you and me. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I want to start by sharing a story. You may have heard of it. There's this guy in Nigeria. He is married. And he also cheats on the wife sexually, commits fornication or adultery. And he's been doing it for quite a number of times. And then one day, one of his regular fornicating or adultery partner, he heard that she died of HIV/AIDS. So he knew he definitely would have contacted it. Now, he told himself, what have I done? And just like that, he started, getting lean, faint, becoming sick. And he was scared to go to the hospital because he knows what he's been doing. At the point, he started losing his hairs. I don't know how it happens, but whatever reason, that was his experience. And any even headache became more headache. Paracetamol or Panadol couldn't help. Quite a very bad thing to be in, you know. You take medication, it's not working. And, you know, he was just sick. Go to the hospital. No. Because he doesn't even want anybody to know he was dying of AIDS as well, even the wife. And luckily for him, he stopped meeting sexually with the wife so that he doesn't transfer the virus. And it kept on going on for months, and he was just dying. You can see his ribcage, everything. He was just dying. He doesn't even want to eat. The force him to eat, he chose up. He was just very sick. I don't even know that whether that's what AIDS do to people. I'm not sure, but that was his experience. And he started collapsing as well. One day, a family friend came and forced him to hospital because there's no test. Nobody knows what the problem is except him. And when he got to hospital, he was actually unconscious, really. They carried out some tests, blood tests and everything. Surprisingly, the doctors found out that he was okay. So what's killing him? No one knows. And when he came out of unconsciousness, you know, they gave him treat, got a bit of strength. They told him, what's going on? Every blood test says you're okay. He told the doctor in confidence, no, I have HIV, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And the doctor said, no, we carried every test. Typhoid fever, HIV, everything. And we just don't understand what's going on. Probably spiritual, they suggested. And the guy was like, for real? I don't have HIV. They said, no. Okay. Within a week, he started getting strength. Within a month, fully recovered because there was no AIDS. But he believed deaths were all killed, not because they wanted to die, but they believed in Jesus. They believed the finished work of the cross. The Romans didn't believe that. And when they're killing them, they are not seeing the Romans, they are seeing heaven. The power of belief is so mighty and so powerful. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And my question to you is, what sort of things do you think? Do you think positive thoughts? There's a recommendation in Philippians, I believe, chapter 4. It says, think on these things, whatsoever is pure, edifying, encouraging. Now, the person that recommended that, which I believe is Brother Paul, he knew people are passing through things. Life is not easy. If you have children, that is job one. If you have siblings, that's another work. If you work, you have a paid job. Colleagues, another trouble. And I'm using, they are all trouble, trust me. Do you drive? Trouble. Other road users, they don't care. Everybody is selfish naturally. And then the devil who is ruling the world influences things. So everyone has a reason to do what they're doing, but your faith makes the difference. Your belief in Christ makes the difference. Life is hard. That is a fact. But the truth is, he has overcome the world. Amen. Amen. I just want to quickly, for us to share on what I call the reward of prayer. There cannot be prayer without faith, trust. And if you have your Bible, can we just read Matthew chapter 6? I'm going to read just two verses. It's a chapter we're familiar with anyway. We talked a lot about prayer and so on and so forth. Verse 6, I'm reading from the TPT. What's the name again? TPT, whatever. Yeah. It says, but whenever you pray, not if, when, so it's mandatory, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. I just want to draw your attention. The maker of the statement is Jesus. Amen? And he was teaching the disciples a lot of stuff, including prayer. Now, I don't think it was a slip of tongue when he said, go into your innermost chamber or, you know, privately and then speak to your Father. And then he said, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. All right, let's pause a bit. What has prayer got to do with all you do? Prayer is an affirmation. Prayer is a conversation, a two-way communication. Do you remember the story Jesus told about two people? The father asked, oh, I need this job done. One said, oh, Father, I will do it. Don't worry, I'll get everything done. The other one said, I ain't got no time. I'm too busy. I've got schoolwork. I've got work. And then when the father came back, the one that said, I will do it, did not do nothing. But the other one that said, I'm so busy, had a change of mind and did everything the father said. And Jesus said, this one has done the will of the father. And that is prayer for you. Whatever you pray for, whatever you pray about, it's only part one. Amen?
Amen.
Part two is, what do you do afterwards? had a conversation with Brother Murray, Elder Murray. That was just a conversation. For there to be a consequence or a result, after that conversation, what did I do? And that was why Jesus said, and your father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Remember, it's just one verse we're sealing. When you pray, pray to your father in secret, privately. And then your father who sees all you do will reward you secretly. And that is the reason why I believe a lot of people don't get answers to specific prayers. Jesus said, let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, is it not contradictory? Think about it. Logically, it doesn't make sense. But because of the principles of prayer, let what you say be what you do. The story I started with, the man believed because he heard. And that was it. He got the reward of what he believed in. Whenever you pray, whatever you ask God for, he answers instantaneously. It's scriptural. Daniel only set his mind to pray. He has not even begun praying. And the Bible records that that God granted all his requests. He only set his mind. Amen? God granted. How long did it take the angel to come true? 21 days, we were told. Had Daniel given up? Will he get the answer? I don't really think so. We pray for children, we pray for family members, loved ones. We don't tend to see change. Ah, did God really answer that prayer? Probably he's sinning a lot and, you know, it's not working. No. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. There's a research that's been carried out by professors and a lot of people, and they found that, you may have seen even some videos on it, if you Google it on YouTube, you see different things, real life scenarios. People put in maybe grains in a jar, same grains, same condition, close them, label them love, hate, and they start speaking to one grain that is love. You are lovely, I love you, you are awesome. And then to the other grain, I hate you. You are disgusting. After a couple of days, like 7 days, and these are what people have tested, I saw it and I was like, wow, the Bible is awesome. And then the same condition, but different words were spoken to these things. The one that was labeled love did not decay after like 7 or 10 days. The one that was labeled hate and was prophesied hate, and disgusting words decayed and spoiled. Same water condition, same environment, same everything. What was the difference? What we said. John chapter 6, and verse 63, Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. Every word I speak or you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus was saying about the words that speak. Now, it's confirming Proverbs that life and death, which are spirits, are in the power of the tongue. Death is a spirit, life is a spirit. True. So when you release them, they manifest. So when you pray, you say things, they are done. Just like what he promised in the book of Mark. When you pray, believe But the question is, what do you do afterwards? What are your reactions? Some people will not come to church because the weather isn't very good. Are you part of the people that are influenced by circumstantial differences? Oh, Brexit, then, you know, you're not going to work. Oh, inflation has gone so high and, you know, you give up. Your actions is the demonstration of faith. I wish I had something to write in, but I'll just try and read it out. It says, our prayers are linked to the intent of our heart. Verse 7 of Matthew, we read earlier, says, when you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. And our prayers are linked to the intent of our hearts. Now, we are just reading verse 7. It does highlight a place of our expectations and our motives, prayer and after prayer. I want to make a statement. It says, our prayer is a function of our faith. Does it make sense? Let me reverse. Now, a function defines one variable in terms of another. So a statement like Y is a function of X means that Y varies according to whatever value X takes. We're doing math in church. So Y is a function of X. Whatever Y is going to be depends on the value X takes. So if X is 2, for instance, Y is a function of 2. So if Y is 1 and X is 2, then Y will be what? 2. 1 times 2, isn't it? We're doing math, but it's scriptural. Waxing for the enemy. So your prayer is a function of your belief. Remember the story we started with? The man believed. And he had exactly. And remember, prayer is whatever you say or think. Ephesians. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we say or think. So, when you pray, what happens to your belief? Belief is simply a demonstration of your faith. There's this lovely place I love in the scriptures. It's called the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Do you want to read that with me? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4 says, all right, let's see verse 1. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove that what is still unseen. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Verse 4, he said, faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain. Faith. So, faith is an action word. He prayed, offered sacrifice, but because of his faith, that made the difference. They all offered what they trade in. One deals with vegetables, the other one deals with livestock. Just like we do. We work, we get paid, we bring in offering. Same thing. But faith made the difference. Jesus was observing people giving offering according to the scriptures, and some were giving large amounts of money, some were giving heavy, heavy gifts. And The Bible calls her a poor widow. I don't know why, but a poor widow gave like a cent or a penny. And Jesus said to his disciples, you see this woman? She has given more than everyone. What was the difference? Her heart. She loves God. God, this is all I have. And God knew. And because I love you, she was very cheerful when she was given the pain. And he said, God loves what? Not a bountiful giver, but a cheerful giver. So faith, attitude, these things matter a lot. If you read down the whole book of Hebrews, where we opened, everyone there did something remarkable, not because they were strong, but because of faith. Amen? Everyone. And remember, Jesus said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can move any mountain. So, I just want to encourage us, let's change our attitude. Because the only reward you're going to get out of any prayer you make is based on what you do afterwards. Let the weak say, I am strong. We see Pastor Fran, he prays for people that are sick. And then what does he tell them to do? Move your body. It's exercising faith. You can't walk, he prays for you. Get up, walk, walk, walk. Faith. Jesus prays for the blind, put some muddy things on their eyes. Go wash and you'll see. And then they go and wash. Demonstration of faith. And they see. Trust me, medically, there is no connection between a mud and a blind eye. No connection. A doctor said something. I've forgotten the terminology he used, but I'm going to break it in layman's term. I'm a layman, you know. He says, there's this thing in medicine that helps people get healed because they are working on your psychology. You come in sick. Oh, I've diagnosed what is the issue. Check your computer, check some big books, you know. And then, all right, this is the prescription. Go take it and that's it. Even the doctor knows that prescription wouldn't work. But they're just working on your psychology. They need your faith. You get out, get the medication, you take it, and you become healed. Oh, it worked. Of course, I know it will work. No, he only knows because the truth, not the fact, the truth is you've acted positively. And when you act positively, you instruct your body to act likewise. Remember, we're all made in God's image. So whatever God does, he's giving us the ability to do. How was the world framed? God's word. How were we created? God's word. Now how can you fix you? Your spoken word. I want to conclude by telling you a personal testimony. Real. I have a very wonderful car. And I've driven it for quite a while. And cars of that age, most of them have been scrapped. And when I'm on the M25, I can hit 70 and people are like, for real? But you know what I normally do every morning? Even this morning, we did it when we were coming to church. We pray and we put our car in prayer. And the car we drove to church, a Galaxy 70, I've got seven household. The last time I went to service it, or the prayer to the last time, the guy told me, look, you need to change the oil pump. Yeah, the heart of the engine, you know, that pumps the oil. I said, excuse me, how much is it going to cost? $1,600. What? That's my wage in a month. And I suggest you should not drive it home. I said, you are kidding. Can you couple my car back? I'm going home. I've advised you, thank you. And then when I got into the car, I was so furious. And then I said, oh, but why am I even furious? My father is the original manufacturer. He manufactured everything, including the people that invented the car. So, when there's a problem with a product, who do you go to? Manufacturer. He's the best person with the best expertise to fix it. So I sat down, I began to speak to the car. I command you, car, in the name of Jesus, get healed. I did it for real. God, you are the commander-in-chief of the heavenly armies. And these guys are great. When they go to war, they don't recover. Angels. And their ministry spreads out to the heads of salvation. I'm the head. So, could you send me the engineers among your angels to fix the car? Vroom, vroom, vroom. So, that was about 6 or 7 months ago. The car is still performing. And when I went for the last servicing, the guy said, did you fix? Oh yeah, it was fixed. But not this guy, some other guys. Because he was surprised, because when your oil pump fails, your engine is definitely gonna knock. Because the oil pumps and supply oil from the lower chamber to the upper chamber and makes everything that goes smoothly help the car to perform. So it was very, it just like having a bad heart. But I remembered who I was, understood beats, just beats like we all know, because we all have a measure of faith, every one of us, including the youngest. You know, the youngest child, like your lovely son, when he cries, he's placing a demand, I need food. And what happens? You feel. He has that faith that when I demand, you're going to feed him. And when you feed him and he wheezes, because that's the way children need to communicate at that stage. Well, I just fed you, then you change the diaper. And oh, you change it. So we all have a measure of faith. But how you use it is entirely up to you. By the grace of God, after today, you will start reaping great rewards with your prayers. And it's that simple. All you need to do is believe in the truth, not the facts. Facts may be misleading. As a matter of fact, facts even change. When I started studying law in 2004, the first time before I quit, I read in constitutional law that marriage is between a man and a woman. But as we speak today, the same law, these are facts, says marriage is between a person and another person. It's changed. And I wouldn't be surprised, maybe 10 or 20 years to come, it's going to change again between marriage between a thing to get dogs in and another thing. Facts changes. They are the variables. And the Y is a function of X. So your faith should not change, because your faith is on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So when next you pray, just follow Jesus' instruction. It's that simple. Say to this mountain, be that cast. Believe. That's all. That's the job. And then act it. Work as if the mountain has been removed. Trust me, God never fails in his path. He's a covenant-keeping God. And life will be such a sweet, lovely thing, because you understand how to reap the rewards of prayer. It's not hard. If you think it's hard, ask Pastor Brian, who prays for a lot of people and they get healed. He's not a professional in prayer, because there's no professional prayer. But he simply obeys the simple word of God. When I say, I believe, and I see it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Was that helpful?
Amen.
Because you need to know this so that you can enjoy it. And not every time you're looking for someone to pray for you. Amen. Because you can do it. You have a thong, and your thong is the power of life and death. Choose you the one you want. Speak life. Act it. Where I did my training contract, I was the only black guy in Canary Wharf, and the last black guy. Every other person was white. And before I got in there, I said, I can do it. Why? Because it's not based on my color, but based on my connection. Who am I connected to? The author and finisher. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. The people in it, and everything around it belongs to my connection. So it's all about connection. And trust me, you are connected to the greatest source. Is he your Lord? Lord means owner. Landlord's the owner of the house, isn't it? And Jesus is our Lord. He's our owner. So let him bear the consequence, the headache. Let's just enjoy life like babies. And remember, the kingdom of God is like, it's meant for babies. So I always tell my wife jokingly, I'm a baby. What? Yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a baby. So unless you're not a child of God, then you're not a baby. Because the kingdom of God is meant for people like us, babies. Amen? Very simple, not complicated. Just trust God. Even if it doesn't seem like it's working, the devil is testing your faith. He is. He always does that. Always. Always. If it doesn't work today, tomorrow. If it doesn't work tomorrow, tomorrow. Definitely will work, because it is certain that Jesus declared it is finished.
Amen.
Any question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have opportunity to ask questions if you have any. Mm-hmm. Any question? If there's something you don't understand, or there's something else you wanted to ask, you've never had the opportunity to ask, try it out. We have Elder Murray who can help as well. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Is 6. Verse 6. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with God, praying to him in secret. And your Father, who sees all you do, will reward you openly. But you can boast in the Lord, yeah?
Yeah, but, yeah, we don't want to be, also, we don't want to be spiritually weird, you know, to say, oh, you know, I've got this vision, I've got this revelation, I've got, you know, on a continual basis, because the basis, sometimes there's some things you just need to keep personal.
And just to add to what he's saying, which is very true, when you pray, pray in secret.
Yeah.
It means speak to him as a father and a daughter, as a father and a son. And when he rewards you, when he answers a prayer, everyone will see that's the hope.
I feel like when you go to church, you do have to think about it, but I feel like
that's to testify. Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be the right time to do so.
Yeah.
Because there's certain times when, like, God's giving me a dream, and it's like maybe years ago, and then I would forget about the dream, but then when God wants me to remember the dream to say to someone, to say what God has done, so that person can come to Christ, God gives me the dream again.
Mm.
So I feel like there's a time, because God will give you the appointed time to say it, and sometimes we jump ahead of ourselves and might feel like what you said, we don't just say it out.
I like Joseph Reed, I'm going into trouble. He told his dream, and he ended up in a pit, isn't it? They sold it there because he jumped the gun, like you said.
Yeah.
But had he asked the Holy Spirit to lead him, when he announces it will be the ideal time, and he may not need to go through all those things. But the good thing about Father is, in all things, he still work together for your own good, even when you make an error.
Yeah.
He still works out everything for your own good, according to his purpose. And remember, the prayer God hears, 1 John 5:14, is the one that is according to his word or his will. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. You want to say something? Amen. Any other questions?
Yes, so sometimes in prayer, you know, sometimes for me, I would pray as long as I want to pray. But sometimes, you know, you need to listen to God.
Sure.
You know, you sit down and you meditate and think about it, and this is what God has to say.
Like I said earlier when I started, prayer is a communication, is a conversation. Just like we're doing now, I speak, you speak, you know, feedback, and yeah, that's prayer. That's prayer. Hallelujah. Like verse 7 said, verse 7, because the religious people repeat and openly pray and expect, they say, no, you've gotten your reward. That's what the religious people do. Oh, they will speak so many wonderful English, thinking that they're impressing God, but actually they're impressing people, and God says they value your reward. Amen. So yeah, it's not being religious.
Because this is the Master was saying, she calls God. See, these are terms that, and I can't stand those terms that she used, because that's her connection.
Her relationship, person.
She calls God Daddy. Now, we don't have to. Yeah, you know, you know. Yeah. I mean, I can't do that. So, in Africa, God is Daddy or something.
Yeah, loads of names to personalize it.
To personalize it. And then she said, I'm just a little girl in God's presence. And I just said, Daddy, you know. And she said, Daddy, what do you want me to do to them? Now, these are things that these are terms that you're using, but I understood those terms.
And you develop them the more your relationship with him gets intimate.
Yeah.
So it comes natural. Like, when I met the lady I finally got married to, I started going, oh, my sweetheart. Sometimes her actions may not be that sweet, but I still say, sweetheart. And then it becomes prophetic. Vice versa, sometimes I behave in such a way that I'm like beating her, but she still calls me sweetheart. And guess what? At the end, because it's like prophetic. Ezekiel, say to these bones. And he spoke. They came together and later became massive army. It's all about prophecy. Prophesy what you want to see and keep doing it, because the reward comes in you doing the thing. Yeah?
I was going to say from
yeah.
When I speak to like young people that don't know Christ, okay, don't believe in the word, how do you, like, I don't know how to do all those. But I said, but you don't have to do, because speaking to God is like speaking to one of your friends.
Yeah. And Jesus put it in the best way, because there are three ways you can relate with God, and that is exactly what God does. Luke 11, introduced God as friend.
Yeah.
He's a friend. Abraham, he's his friend.
Yeah.
So Jesus introduced God to us as a friend. So you should relate to God as a friend. And you know what friends do? They intercede. So every time you see people pray for people, they're dealing with God based on a friendly level. And Luke 8:18.
I just want to jump on this one. You don't have to use King James Version language.
I don't read King James. because it gets me confused. I don't speak King James. Make it, you know, you can imagine if I'm sharing these things in knowest thou what makest a goodest prayer, you'll be lost because you don't speak that English. And I was reading TPT, which is, what's the meaning of TPT again? Something passionate translation, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. You can relate with it. Sometimes I read NIV, and there's this favorite one I read, ERV.
Yes.
Man, there are places where there are scriptures you read in various translations, you'll be having fun. You can't finish a book if you're not enjoying it. So why would you read Bible in a language you don't quite understand? You know, you can't comprehend. That's why the various translations are there. And trust me, the Holy Spirit inspired them. The Holy Spirit inspired them for a purpose. You know. And then to conclude, sir, so that we don't take it longer, there's this great recommendation Paul gave, and I love it. Because sometimes you don't even know what the will of God is to pray.
Yes.
And Paul said, as much as you can, pray in the Spirit. You know why? Who knows the mind of God more than God's Spirit? No other person. Deep calleth unto the deep. So the Spirit of God knows the will of the Father for everyone. So when you pray in the Spirit, you don't quite understand it factually, but the truth is, your prayer in the Spirit hits the nail on the head. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe they were praying in the Spirit in the upper room, and God knew their hearts and released Peter from the prison to them. So, as much as you can, because understanding is limited. And don't judge God based on your experience. God is bigger than our experiences. You know, your experience, whatever it is, God is bigger. But if you catch him based on your experience, but you didn't answer the other prayer, he will be small. But your God is bigger than that. As much as you can, pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will get that something in a short while. Shall we pray? Please. Let's just begin to appreciate our Father because he's a loving Father. He's such a merciful God. His love is marvelous. It cannot be comprehended by human understanding. He's faithful and a covenant-keeping God. We are breathing because Jesus said it's finished. We are still walking and standing in the land of the living because God is still on the throne. And we are privileged to stay together as a family. And we are sharing. And the Holy Spirit is teaching us individually things and reminding us even the things we know, because nothing we've said today is new, really. You know them. He's just reminding us. Can we just appreciate him right now for such an opportunity? Let's bless his name. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Can we ask the Holy Spirit to help us? For by strength shall no man prevail, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, our partner, our helper, our comforter, our teacher. Let him guide us so that when we leave here, we will live according to the word outside. And the glory of God will fill us, and men will be drawn to God because of the glory of God shining in our lives. Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can do it. And that is why Jesus said, it was expedient I go for you to come. And thank goodness you're here. Help us, helper. Help us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And so, Lord, I decree and declare today that as your people have had your word, their heart will be a fertile ground. It will germinate. The enemy will not succeed to steal it from there. In the name of Jesus, your word will produce fruits, will be Lord, help us to develop that relationship, personal, individual, in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we love to love our neighbors as well. Help us to genuinely love our neighbors in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's not be prejudgmental. Help us to see people just the way you see them, for we are all your children. In the name of Jesus, we cover the people at conference with the blood of Jesus, and we ask the Lord that you continue to bless them. And even when they come back today, guide them and grant them joy and mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. And for those of us that will go back to work and to school tomorrow, Lord, I prophesy that it will be different in the name of Jesus. Whatever we lay our hands to shall prosper because you are with us in the mighty name of Jesus. We cover every little child here with the blood of Jesus, and we ask Holy Spirit that you go after them, preserve them, protect them, guide them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the technical team. Thank you for everyone that has contributed in one way or the other to ensure that this service is a success. May all glory be ascribed to you, Lord. In Jesus' most powerful name we pray.